Okay, well, good evening, everyone. My name is Julian Garner, and I'm the Chief Executive here at TABIP, and I'm delighted to be joined by Ed Rogers from Bristol Braille for this evening's masterclass. It's great to see you all this evening. Thanks for joining. And without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Ed to just give a bit of an introduction to himself, his role, and what Bristol Braille do before looking at the Knute that he's going to share with us this evening. So over to you, Ed.
Thank you. I'm the managing director and the founder of Bristol Braille. Bristol Braille is formalized as a company in 2011, but actually it's been a personal project of mine since 2008 to build braille displays which are more affordable, have more braille on it, can do more interesting things with braille, or at least several of the above. And that really crystallized in the Knute concept at the end of 2012 when we decided that we were going to concentrate on more braille, meaning multiple lines of braille. We've called all the different prototypes since then the Knute, but there have been, so that I keep meeting people who say, oh yeah, it's got a bit smaller since the last one that I saw. When did you see the last one, 2016? Which would have been an entirely different technology. We actually had loads of different prototypes and we would hold meetings where we'd have a dozen or more people coming to these meetings and trying the machines out, most of which were terrible. And that was all the point, because people would get their hands literally inside, test the mechanism, see how that, well, not test the mechanism, feel how the mechanism worked, and then give us ideas about the user interface and so on. So it was very much built as a community, as part of a community interest company, which is what Bristol Braille has become. My personal interest in this is quite straightforward, which is that I just like Braille. I'm sighted myself. I didn't come into this in order to solve a particular problem for a particular person. I came in because I think Braille is a fantastic medium and was a fantastic invention. I really wanted to work with it, and I wanted to work with the people that rely upon it. And that's what we do. That's a bit of background to me and the company. I think I mentioned that we're a community interest company. I didn't mention we're not for profit, which is less usual, even in our field. There's lots of companies which don't make a profit, but we are constitutionally committed to reinvesting everything that we earn back into the company and back into the community. We're also asset locked, meaning that any assets that we own, if we were to ever to split the company up, would have to stay within the community, meaning passed on to another charity. And a final bit of background is many of you will know the history of the Braillist Foundation. That's actually a sister organization once upon a time, which emerged out of the same user groups that were testing the Knute in the early days. That became an independent company and an independent charity. And it's inspiring to us to see how putting together some groups of people and doing some testing and stuff can create such a fantastic community, as indeed you have here. Onto the Knute itself. I'm going to talk today about the Knute Scientific. The Knute Scientific is the latest version of the Knute technology, but they've all been the same basic braille display technology since we released the first Knute 360 e-reader in right at the end of 2019. What we've done since then is we released the Knute console, and then we have been releasing the Knute Scientific, which are adaptions of the same technology but applying it to more and more ambitious use cases. And I thought what would be very interesting today would be to go through the process that we build, how we build these. And I'm not going to take a machine apart on camera. The camera is on, but I'm not going to take a machine apart on camera exactly. But I will talk through the process of how we build it, why we build it in our own workshop, which we invite people to come to if they want to see their own machines being built, and the complexities involved in running a very small company that's trying to launch a product that competes with your Humanwares and your Hims and so on and so forth. And I also want to talk about the right to repair and why that's essential. An essential extra feature that goes along just as important in our view with the right to program your own applications on the device, and indeed the right to be able to use whatever data sets you want to build up spatial models in using Braille. But I've gone off on I've gone off on more the abstractions when I should start with some brass tacks about the device. I've got one behind me, so I'll get out of the way slightly and switch camera, and I'll give you a little description. The device is about 14 inches left to right along the front. It's about 13 inches deep. The braille is actually only about 6 inches of that at the back, and then at the front you have the same amount of a full-size QWERTY keyboard with, on the right-hand side, a full numpad entry. And at the back, we have a 13-inch monitor built into a lid, which clicks down to protect the braille display. The device itself is black with white details, and it has it's quite a obviously ruggedized design, which is based not so much around the expectation of people going to use it, to swing it around and so on, but more like we want this to be operating for years and years and years. We want people to be able to repair it either themselves potentially, or to be able to have it repaired by us, by a handy friend of theirs, by a local company that has fixed their phone for them in the past. In other words, you should have the right to fix a device that costs you thousands and thousands of pounds. And our device is still expensive. We'll talk about the pricing later. We've got the cheapest per cell price of any Braille display technology, but all of these devices are huge investments, which means that you ought to own that and have the right to fix it in the same way that you would a car. To continue the little tour, on the right-hand side we have a carry handle. This device is a desktop unit. It's not really meant for use on the go, but you can move it around, and it has the format of a large laptop. We also have on the right-hand side a 40-pin input-output port, and that is for digital and analog control of sensors, of extra ports, extra hardware, robots even. There's all sorts of stuff you can do with that. This uses a Raspberry Pi 5 inside it, and there is a vast ecosystem of people building extensions which you can plug directly into that. It's called the Knut Scientific for a reason. This is meant to be a device which encourages people to go further and farther than they were used to be able to use Braille displays for, which are often somewhat locked down. This is running a fully open source operating system. If I would hit escape now, I'm currently in a menu which is replicated exactly visually on the monitor as it is on the Braille display. No more information available on either. Then I would get to the command line, and in the command line, I can install any number of thousands of applications, and as long as they're command line, they will work. You can also now, as of the last month, less even, you can install desktop applications, so graphical user interface applications, and they will work with Orca. Continue the walk around. We have a port here for extending the aerial if you need better connectivity for Wi-Fi. We have face buttons for backwards, forwards, and a menu button. And on the right-hand side, we have, which I'm not going to turn everything around to show that, it's a variety of USB ports, a SD card, micro SD as well, actually. And then at the back here, USB B for plugging this into a computer and have it controlled directly by the computer. I'm rattling through those because actually you can unscrew this whole keyboard here, and by you, I really, it's not it's not rocket science. It's not super simple, but we would encourage people to get in contact with us if they're interested in doing this, and we'll walk you through it. The this top section of the device can be unscrewed. You can change out this port layout for another one if you want to. In future, you can buy yourself a new Raspberry Pi and put that in instead. If a cell goes on this, it can be changed locally if we send you a spare components. We have also made a big thing of being able to upgrade people all the way from the original Knut 360 by using those parts and building them into the Knut Scientifics. So that's the overall layout of it. And the two things I'd like to concentrate on discussing now is why we feel it's important to have that right to repair, and to be talking about workshops, people being able to access our workshop, be able to working with universities to get these into universities like Bath University, so that students can start to hack into, to learn to hack, to learn to program, to learn to control scientific equipment, And why, of course, individuals can attend workshops in order to better understand their own braille displays for free, naturally. Why that's an essential part of this, of our model of why we're building devices. So I'll cover that after we go through a few of these applications. For those who are not that familiar with a Knut refreshing, I'm going to run through a refresh now by selecting applications from the menu. It refreshes one line at a time. So the top line changes in the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, etc., all the way down, because it has, I forgot to mention this, this is quite important. It has 9 lines by 40 cells. It is a 360 cell display. That is the largest number of Braille cells you can get on any one page. The device itself, you can buy the premium one for just over £6,000. And as the device changes, you can start reading immediately. So it may only change one line at a time, and it took, as you may or may not been able to hear there, I will run a bit closer with the mic so we can see if we can pick any of this up. I'm not quite sure if Zoom is going to let us pick that up, but that was
No, I
me with the
can't hear
mic
that. No.
about an inch away from the device. It does make a noise, though. It makes a whirring noise, and that's because you don't have braille dots in the conventional sense being powered individually by motors. We have octagons that are embossed with braille. The octagons on one line all spin around at once, powered by motors underneath them, and then they pop back up. If anyone wants to come to Bristol or they want to meet us at a show, we'll happily walk someone through this with a maquette and explain exactly how our devices work. That's part of the ethos we have for this. The braille is hard signage braille, and it's meant to be easier to come to terms with if you are not perhaps that experienced with braille. I'm going to bring up a table here as our example application. I will talk through the various applications we've been building on a overall level, and then I'll show a quick example of a spreadsheet, and I'll talk through that. The main reason we're developing the multi-line braille display in the form that we do it, as opposed to in the ways that it has been done variously elsewhere, is we want to focus on high quality braille, which is very proud, very prominent and easy to read, and is entirely focused on the braille. We do graphical, we sorry, we don't do graphical, we do tactile graphics in the sense that there are iconographic representations of data that you can do with braille. Let me put that a little less obliquely. You can label up, you can write labels on a braille display, having them arranged vertically and in columns and so on and so forth, which can create diagrams, A over here, B over here, C, D, etc., or columns of data. And that can represent spatial information, which conveys most of the information you'll get from a chart, and in fact conveys in some instances more information you'll get from a traditional tactile graphical line graph. But it's all about the braille for us. We're not doing tactile graphics in the traditional sense. The reason we're doing that is because the idea of having a Knut Scientific is that it will enable you to be able to do things you may not otherwise do in a career sense. You may be prefer to be an amateur programmer, but you can still do more, because you can have a full 40 cells wide by 9 lines. It enables you to see the indentations in whole functions. If you have 40 cells by 9 lines, you can, as I will now, look at spreadsheets and with reflowing columns, which reshape according to the amount of data available in each column. So I have just opened up a spreadsheet, and that is visually displayed as three columns, which I zoomed out to show that it's three columns, and it's loading at the same time in Braille underneath that, and we can read the various columns as lining up precisely, and if we want to get more information on them, we can get that on the status line. This application was built using a common framework, which means that it is possible to build whole applications with menus, tables, diagrams, without really doing much in the way of coding. You can write plain text files and pipe them to our existing libraries and have an immediate solution for your own data presentational needs. If you want to create a flow diagram, we've got an app already for that. You want to look at tables in various database formats, you don't need to create an app for that or wait for us to provide support for it. You can use the existing tools and install new ones if you want, and you'll be able to represent that. It's all rather like the right to repair. It's all coming down to the importance of letting an individual control their own braille display. So I'd like to talk a little bit about how the device actually is built and the process we're going through. It's a very time-consuming process to build one of these. They're each a labor of love. I personally build many of them myself. I will do the repairs myself, and I have a colleague that does assembly here in the workshop in Bristol. The whole company is run from a 650 square foot office in Bristol, which you are, as I mentioned, welcome to visit and try your hand at doing some of that yourself. We take the Knut display, which is built up of 40 columns of ribs. A rib is what we call a column of braille. This has two motors in it, and the motors actuate each line one at a time, depending on which line has been pressed down. So when it's changing line three, every braille cell on line three will be pressed down, and then the motors, which are running vertically, will spin those braille columns. I'm sorry, it doesn't really represent well without getting your hands on to that. But I want to emphasize here, we like to be open about this. It takes a long time to build these things, and we try and provide as much support as possible. And therefore, we want people to feel like they can join us in repairing their own device if they're very keen to do that, having us repair it, find someone else to do it. Getting it running for as much as 12 years is as long as we are expecting to maintain our warranty options for those who want to extend their warranty and our spare parts, and keep changing it up inside, buying new display hardware for the Raspberry Pi, for example. So I've been running at a rate of knots so far. I'm going to describe two things now, which I'll rattle through. Still at a rate of knots, a list of applications. And then, because one of our customers is in the call who has a particular vested interest in the process of upgrading, I'm going to talk about supporting our existing Knut customers. So I've actually just been at the NFB in Texas. It's the first time I've been over to the States in 3 years. We used to go over there to speak with the NFB and do as we did with the Braillist Foundation, which is have attend all the convention committees in order to discuss what a braille display should be doing for people. It wasn't really a promotional thing so much as testing what we were doing, working out how we're getting it wrong, and we have gradually learned how to be better at presenting data until it evolved into Knut Scientific. Anyway, that was me being away for better part of 2 weeks. I asked my team were in Site Village, and we were there to show off what we had completed, which was applications including spreadsheets, which I've already covered. In my view, is a game changer to have a real spreadsheet applications which can show you whole columns of data presented next to each other. Programming actually works very much the same way as it did on the Knut console, the previous device. Except this is a more powerful computer. The reason you'd want to program using a multi-line braille display is that you just get the luxury of not having to memorize and the line over line data. Music is an area that people have used their devices for. It's not something I'm personally able to comment on very much. I'm not a very musical person, sadly, but it is great for sheet music. And we were on the Dancing Dots stand at the NFB, Dancing Dots being one of our distributors. We have applications for writing technical reports, and in those, we have recently added in support for complex embedded maths equations, which can be viewed as LaTeX equations or be converted on the fly into Braille UEB properly formatted Braille mathematics from a starting point of being an embedded word equation, or the starting point of being an embedded MathML equation. We have flow diagrams, and we've used those in a variety of ways in the past, but to build tactile maps of areas to build circuit diagrams. We now have an application which can simply take a GraphViz file, which is a very common, very easy to write format, which means that you can write a format of, you can write as a plain text file a list of connections between nodes. This is connected to that, this is connected to that, and it will then generate you that as a diagram, which you can present visually as well as tactilely, and you can save them as BRFs and have them embossed out. And of course, we have grids for doing much more custom work, which we have used in some instances to create video games for people wanting to play with video games. You can just run some video games in the command line and they will just work. And the most simply, application for manually creating menus. And this is sounds very simple, be able to create full page 9-line menus. But very recently, some students in Bath University, not Bath Spa, which I mentioned earlier, in Bath University, made a application which, or was it Bath Spa, that made an application which was a choose your own adventure, a wonderful choose your own adventure game with mini games, and the whole thing was built on a Knut Scientific and a Knut console. So those are some of the things that people do with it, but we offer to help you build your own thing too. So whatever it is you come into it as an ambition, we'll help you do that. And if you get the premium option, we'll build it for you, or we'll get it started, certainly, depending on how complex it is. We want to help you with your workflow. If you're going into employment from university, or you are looking at changing your career, or you've got a particular project you're interested in as a retiree, we'll build the appropriate application or the framework for that to get you started. So, speaking of building, I'm going to talk about the process of upgrading a device. If someone is an existing customer, we can take their existing Braille display, we then dismantle it and service every component of it. As I mentioned, this is essentially the same labor as building it from scratch, but it doesn't it do, it reuses all the materials. This project was started thanks to Material Focus. The Knut Scientific was started thanks to Material Focus, who wanted us to focus on making the device more have less electrical waste. So we will and have been servicing each component in that. That's 40 ribs, that's 98 motors. Everything gets oiled, gets put back together, but it gets put into a different chassis. The chassis is built out of three components. You have the right yourself to take these apart if you follow the instructions that we will send over on request. And then underneath this framework here, you have a series of electronic components which are joined together with common USB-C and so on wires. When we say this is modular, we don't mean we'll sell you new modules. We mean you can buy new modules from wherever you want and build this up however you want yourself. The at the back, the if someone is a Knut console owner, we will be able to reuse the monitor, assuming that's in good condition. And the monitor and the lid will be reused and built into the new chassis. But this chassis will be entirely new. So that's the process, and that's taken us about 26 minutes. So it would be probably, I feel like I've been rattling on too fast for me to keep up with the various things I haven't covered. So why don't I take a pause so we can have some questions?
Thanks, Ed. That's really helpful and really interesting. Can you just explain that? How does the Braille cell actually work? You talked about a rotor. Can you just explain to me again how that it's not individual pins that are being fired?
From a user's point of view, if you were not interested in the actual internals, I'll come back to the internals. If you're just interested in the outcome, what happens is you have your hand over the Braille display, which takes up about 10 inches left to right and about 6 from front to back because it is a 40 by 9, and the spacing is 15 millimeters from one top of dot one to top of dot one. And if you were to change an entire page, then one by one, every line on that display would change. If you only changed line two, only line two would refresh. So let's say you've only changed line two. You would feel line two disappear. So every dot would disappear. There would be a whirring noise. And then approximately a second later, line two would reappear with new dots in that position. And the dots are hard. They can't be compressed. They can't be stopped from coming up again. And you can touch it whilst it's refreshing. The actual mechanism for how it's working is to have two plastic octagons in the place of where you would normally have six braille pins. So we use six dot braille in this device. If you split the braille cell into two columns of three dots, then for those of you who are familiar with binary, this will maybe start to click. Then you have eight possible combinations in each half of that braille cell.
Okay,
So
yeah.
three different dots becomes an eight possible combinations. That makes for an octagon. We emboss each combination of dots around a little plastic octagon, so there are physical bumps on that octagon. We string 80 of those octagons on a steel bar, so two for each
Yeah.
braille cell. In actual fact, these octagons are held front to back in what we call a rib, which is the plastic chassis holding the motor and the control electronics and so on and so forth. But they're all on a steel bar that runs left to right. That bar is what clicks down. Clicks each of those octagons
Yeah.
onto a rack which runs underneath, which moves them into a new position, and then they click back up again.
Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you. I think I get that now. It'd be great to come and see one actually and see it being
You're
built.
very
I
welcome.
might book a visit now to see you.
Yeah, for anyone
That'd be
that is
really good.
interested, you can always get in contact with us, 0117 325 3022, to book a visit. We've also got a calendar on the website. If you just wanted to, just reckon you're going to be in Bristol one day and you want to come and see the workshop.
Very good. Perhaps we can organise a Tabit outing to come and see you. Be
We have
good.
some lovely pubs nearby as well.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. So, has anyone got any questions for Ed on any of this? Do come off mute and raise questions.
I have a question, if that's okay.
Yeah, hi Ellie, go ahead.
Hiya. You said before, Ed, that the braille is six dot braille as opposed to eight dot braille. So how do you then manifest the cursor?
We have a variety of different ways you can do the cursor. Our default is to represent it using the four sign all six dots, which as you move the cursor around using the arrow keys on the QWERTY keyboard, the four sign moves. That can be switched to being a underscore 456 or a 3-6. So you can change it, and that can be programmed into an application so that it changes to be application appropriate, or you can hot swap it yourself as a user, or you can leave it as a default if you're fine with that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions at this point?
I have a question.
Yeah, hi.
Actually, I've got quite a few. Hi,
Yeah, fire away.
Laurel. So, I'm really curious about the music. So you mentioned that it works really well with sheet music. I know you said you couldn't give a more detailed overview on this, but do you know how this works? What kind of file formats does it use? Can it convert like XML files into Braille? Like, how does that work?
The experience I've got with this is largely based off our previous device, the Canute 360, which is that which supports the BRF format, and the BRF format is fully supported on the Canute Scientific. So if you've got sheet music which has already been turned into Braille sheet music, then you can read that either in the mode that I was demonstrating, where you have full interactivity, you can rewrite it, program it, and so on and so forth, or we have a special mode, especially a sort of a simplified mode for purely for reading BRFs, as You might, if for example you've got a library card, or you've sent a lot of music, a lot of sheet music as on one SD card or one USB stick, you'd pop that in, go into reader mode, and go through the sheet music in that way. When it comes to more interactive applications, that's an area where we've done some basic research and we have a lot of interest. I haven't programmed anything myself, but there are a lot of command line applications which just work by in you can install them in order to convert from one format to another. I have to confess again, I'm afraid I can't personally speak about too much about which applications you would want to try. But as I said earlier, in fact, I didn't quite cover this as explicitly as I should have done. The applications we've built on this so far is because someone has bought a Knut Scientific or a Knut console and said, and they bought the premium package, which is where we build an application for them, and they said, the application I want is this. And then, assuming that's something that we feel everyone else would want, we open source it and everyone gets it. And it continues to build up in that fashion. So we don't own an exclusive right to those. They can be used more broadly. And the moment someone says to us, I want to be able to convert sheet music from this format to that format, that will be not only on their machine, but rolled out to everyone and available as an open source script or application if we had to develop an application from scratch that everyone else can use, or we'll just do some research and work out the best way of doing it. I'm sorry, that's a bit of a not a direct answer to your question. The short answer is Braille music as BRF is supported really nicely. There are lots of applications which can be experimented with on the Knut Scientific, which will work to varying degrees but haven't been customized specifically for it. And we will customize a device for you.
That sounds really promising. Thank you. I do have like two more questions, but I want to let someone else go first.
No, I think carry on. You're fine.
Okay, great. And what about the scope for like working with different screen readers? I know you said you can load up tables. Do you have like particular functionality established like with any of the main screen readers like Jaws, Supernova, etc.?
This has been an area of rapid development recently. We've had support for multi-line Braille in BRLTTY since 2020. That BRLTTY is an un a screen reader which underlies a lot of the other screen readers, so it actually can be used as a driver for NVDA. It's used by Narrator, it's used by Google, and so on and so forth, by Apple. Sorry, by not by Apple, by Amazon. That has now been joined by Orca support, so BRLTTY is cross-platform, but that's for being primarily used by people who are programmers who are working in the command line, which is of course of limited application to day-to-day uses. We've now got full support for Orca, which is built specifically for the Knut Scientific because we have Orca running on the Knut Scientific itself, so you can run applications like web browsers, email clients. LibreOffice suites and so on directly in the device itself. For Windows, we have a single line support from NVDA, and indeed you should be able to use Narrator in single line with Knut as well. I know multi-line is something to come on that. Our next move is we are going to be improving the support for BRLTTY. The way it works in Android, so that you can use plug your Android phone directly into this and have a really nice reading experience. You can already use plug an Android phone into this, install the BRLTTY application, and it will read what's on your screen. It's just it doesn't wrap the lines. You have to pan backwards and forwards. So what we're going to do is add line wrapping. That's the next thing on our list, along with line wrapping in the NVDA driver, so that you have multi-line support in NVDA for Windows. This is a long answer. We're getting there though. We have
No, don't worry. Yeah.
we are
Yeah.
working with, and I am about to ship a machine to Apple because they have said that they'd love to add voice voiceover. And finally, for Jaws, we don't have a timeline for this yet, but in the near future, hopefully in the next few months, we want to support the new Braille, like I say new, it's been around for some time, but it's only recently been supported by JAWS, which is the Braille HID standard. That's where you can show up as a you know about it. Yes, you so you have to show up as a HID USB device as opposed to the traditional way which we've all built, us being Braille manufacturers, which is to show up as a kind of serial device which you then control using our own custom protocols. So we'll be adding that to our protocol, optional Braille HID, and that will enable the support that JAWS has already got for multi-line to work on the Canute as well.
Oh, that's really cool. I'm actually from Dolphin, so I'm a software tester at Dolphin, and we definitely would be interested in like knowing more, particularly with multi-line Braille. And we've also added HID support for Supernova, which is like a magnification and screen reader tool. So yeah, that's definitely something that I'd be interested in hearing more about.
Please do get in contact. If you contact chris.turner@bristolbraille.org, so that's Turner, Turner, and then Chris will be able to arrange for that discussion to happen with our developers.
Great. So that sounds really good. Thank you.
We have a very simple protocol for supporting the device as it currently is, even without Braille HID support. That's all published on our website as well, but obviously we'd like to work together. I don't think Dolphin does use BRLTTY in the background, though, does it?
No. Currently, no. As far as I know, we do not.
The options for supporting it, I won't go too technical on this call, but the options for support, I suppose. PAVIP is an appropriate place to get quite technical, actually. So maybe I will. You could, of course, wait for us to release the support for the Braille HID standard, although you would still need to work out the multi-line Braille angle, which is something we'd love to help you with. It would be faster and probably not much more work to work with either our existing protocol, which is a straightforward serial RS-232 format protocol, or to work do what has been done up to this point, which is to use BRLTTY as the driver for the Braille display, because BRLTTY has an API, BRL API, which enables you to control the Canute without having to go into the weeds of exactly how to drive a particular line.
Okay, that's interesting. With BRLTTY, would it be able to be multi-line if we were to
Yes,
use that?
so BRLTTY has full support for the Canute in multi-line. Yes.
Oh wow, that's amazing. Okay, I didn't realize. I
So,
hadn't heard of this application.
Duxbury,
That's
for
interesting.
example, have built-in support for use. If you plug a Canute into a machine running Duxbury DBT, then whatever is in the Braille window will be reflected in on the Canute.
Okay, I've got it. Okay. And what was the other option you mentioned?
So directly
Please.
directly supporting our protocol, which is published online, using BRLTTY, because their API means that you don't need to know much
Understood.
about the Braille display you're controlling. You just say, give me this Braille. You'd still need to know to do multiple lines, and or wait and work together on the Braille HID standard.
Okay, so either do it through BRLTTY, HID, or the online,
Direct protocol,
the
yeah.
DAI protocol, sorry. Okay, cool.
Options,
Well,
options.
yeah, quite a few. Wow.
Okay, that's really helpful. That's a good conversation. Thanks for that. Sorry, I didn't get your name because you're coming up as PCT, but that's fine. It was good for you to come in there and have that conversation. Has anyone else got any questions at the moment for Ed? I think Ed, you were going to talk about pricing, which is always good to come to. I don't think anyone else has got any questions at the moment. So, do you want to lead into that? And
Certainly.
availability and all those things, different options.
Yes, well, we're building a very small batch of these initially, and we're calling them the first edition Canute Scientific Premiums. And we have a, depending on who has asked for an invoice but has not actually paid the invoice, we have somewhere between one and five remaining. So,
Right.
so get in contact with us if you're interested. The price for that is £6,295. That will be the basic device as I have been demonstrating, but there is the option to have up to 16 gigabytes of RAM. RAM is very expensive these days. That's up to an individual if they want to do that. We don't gain any money either way, what RAM someone chooses. And we will later on send on an add-on for a battery once we get that one approved, and a custom briefcase as well. The warranty is 4 years for the Fastidition Knut Scientific Premium. The premium will stay available afterwards. The price will go up by some £700. And if someone wants to go for the basic scientific, and that might take a little longer, and it won't come with the extras, and it'll be shorter warranty. We won't build an application specific to you, but we will love you just as much. Then the price of that is £4,295.
Thanks, that's really helpful.
For those who are upgrading, the upgrade starts from about £2,700. That depends on what options you, so what machine you're coming from, and what options you're adding on.
Thanks, that's helpful. So do you see what proportion of people in the general sense, your customers, do they tend to be individuals buying these, or are you getting people, students, buying it through DSA, or people in employment buying it through Access to Work? What are
It's
the
too soon
moment?
for us to say for this model that what that balance is, because we've been speaking to a lot of people that have told us they want to put it through DSA or Access to Work. But as we all know, those things come around when they come around, and we've only been on the market for a few months with this device. In the past, there's been quite a lot of DSA and Access to Work. I would say it's more than half actual private individuals, whether through us or through our distribution network. For those of you in other countries, we have distributors, American Thermoform and Dancing Dots, for example. We have Sight and Sound in the UK, and we'd very much encourage you to go and speak to Sight and Sound. Sight and Sound, of course, carry in the UK and in Ireland, although they haven't yet got Knut Scientifics. But if anyone's interested, and then hit them up, and I'm sure that'll spur stuff along a little.
So would people normally buy? Do people do you, can people buy direct from you, or would they go
You
through
can buy
Sight and
direct
Sound
from
in the
us as
UK?
well. That's right. Yeah.
So what's the advantage of going through a distributor versus coming direct? Is the price the
Certainly,
same? Is
if
there
you're
any
in another
difference?
country, you may wish to have that layer of support. But speaking of layers of support, we are a small company, and we pride ourselves on, if you call us up, you're going to speak to the managing director, the head of R&D, the production head. Everyone is very closely here. We can usually throw a paper ball at the top of each other's heads to get each other's attention. It's very private and personal, and you will know who's building your display. It's also, though, our availability is limited. I haven't been able to speak to any customers for the last 10 days because I was traveling. You may prefer that the reliance on Dancing Dots or American Thermoform, or of course Sight and Sound, who have those teams, and it's the same price, so you're not losing out. And of course, if you are not an individual, you don't always have the choice. You don't want to try and wait for Bristol Braille to be added into the system for your university or whatever it is.
That's really helpful. They're very, very clear. So thank you. No other questions at the moment. So any other future plans? Obviously the scientific is a big development for you. But is there anything else on the horizon, or areas that you're working on, whether it's applications or hardware?
We are looking to concentrate on making the most out of the scientific. That sounds like a platitude. The way we're looking at doing that is by going big on the workshop element. So we're working more with universities. I am going to find partners that already work with Hackspaces and Makerspaces and so on. And we want to go back to customers that already own machines of one form or another, and say, even if you're not going to upgrade to a scientific, what would you like to do with it if you did? And start really concentrating on on enabling Braille readers to get more out of their Braille, out of their Braille for their professional development. So it's
Okay.
about using the hardware within workshops, whether those are workshops in a physical sense of this workshop I'm in right now, or workshop in the sense of a session which is put on, such as one after, say, Site Village London. We might put on a workshop where we teach a certain thing and bring in an expert to help people work out how to do that on a multi-line Braille display or something like
Brilliant. That's really good. Sounds great.
that.
And great to build the sort of invest in new customers and build on that energy and the engagement that you've got. So that sounds like a good way forward.
If you're a small company, there isn't any other way of doing that. Everything is hand to mouth, and if you are just we are I don't know what size, say, Humour and Hymns are as such, but we're probably 50 times smaller than them, and this is the only way we survive is by speaking directly with people and with the through the tolerance of our customers. And we are very grateful for the tolerance of our customers, and we hope that we at least give a personal touch.
Yeah. And where are you where can people come and see you? I know you've just been, or your team have been, at Site Village in Birmingham. Where else can people come and see you this year if they'd like to?
Write in and tell us where you want us to go. There's a very strong chance we'd like to go there. If there is a if you have a local society that wants to put something on, we're actively attempting to have a drumbeat of events, and it's harder than you might think to think of, that every fortnight going somewhere and meeting with a group of people, because doing it from scratch every time and emailing around and trying to encourage five people in one county to come together is a lot of work. If you know someone that would like a place where you'd like to see the Canute Scientific being demoed, get in contact with us. Otherwise, if you go on our website, we have a link to our calendar and you can see the events upcoming. We will be at Site Village, London. We are holding an event in Bristol called Braille Space in 2 weeks' time. So sign up to our newsletter to hear about that. And we do quite a few of the other site villages in the more regional ones. So far this year we did Exeter as well as we've done some ICANNs. We've done two different ICANN events.
Okay, well, I think that's I think unless there are any other questions, that's been really helpful. I'd love to you to keep us up to date at Tavip on any further developments, and I can always share that in our news and emails, so let's keep in touch. Maybe we can host another masterclass later in the year around application development or something like that, so people can understand how that works on the Canute platform. We've got some interested sort of coders and young people on the list, so it'd be good to follow that. And keep up to date with what you're doing there, because it's great work and really interesting. So
Thank you very much.
unless there are any other questions
I do
from
have a
oh
few
yeah
more.
yeah go away yeah go
Sorry.
ahead yeah brilliant.
Sorry to take if
No, it's
anyone does
great.
have any more.
Carry on.
Is there any plan to make it like a more portable? Because you said that it's desktop based at the moment. Firstly, how much does it weigh? Because I don't know if we got that information. And also, is there a plan for it to be more portable, like a laptop or a Braille Sense 6 Mini or something like that? I don't really know how that would
In the
work, but
for the latter in the latter case, portability is not currently our focus, because there's only so portable you can make a device which is 40 by 9 and has a full keyboard and has the monitor. We could, of course, concentrate on taking any of those components away, though we have the option of making a new version of the Braille of the Canute 360 reader, which is our first product. If we made that now, it would be a little bit more portable and light. But our focus really is on bigger, in the sense of, it's very powerful to have a full size keyboard and a full size Braille page. So not immediately. We are a small company. We'd love to build five different products based off the Canute platform, but not immediately. We are always reluctant to go below 40 cells, which makes a big difference to the weight. It's not just slightly more. You have to build the structure has to become a lot stronger. You heard the way I describe it with lots of rods moving up and down. It's a very mechanical action. It's not light. The weight of it is around 5 kilos. That's to be
Wow.
yeah,
That's to be expected. Yeah.
it is a desktop device. You can carry it from one location to another. You're not meant to use it on your knees on the bus.
No, yeah.
I do use it on my knees on the bus, but that's because I didn't finish programming my demo before I had to go to the Pocklington event, last Friday or something like that. So you can, but it is not meant for that.
Wow. Okay.
You mentioned a battery. So where does the battery? Did you mention a battery was
A
coming?
battery pack, yes. A battery pack is something which will be an add-on, bundled in the sense of for those who have bought the premium package, but will be literally added on to the back. The reason for that is that people often need to be able to use, even if it's a desktop, they want to move it from one location to one which doesn't have backup, which doesn't have immediate power source,
Yeah.
or they need, or they want to carry it from one to the other without losing their data. It is still not intended as a solution because the battery will add weight. It's not intended as a way of making it especially portable.
No, but you can move it between your desk and your garden office, or between a lab
Right.
and an office in a educational environment.
Absolutely. I did want to focus here on it. We are building desktop devices, and this enables us to make certain design decisions elsewhere. And it's why the price per cell is something like one ninth of what you get in most other technologies.
Amazing. I'm actually based in Bristol.
Okay, well, we're
Yeah.
in Bedminster.
Oh,
If
that's not
you know
far.
it,
Yeah.
we are on Phillip Street near the City Farm and near the Asda. So,
Amazing.
go to go go and give us a call, or drop us an email, or register on
Yeah.
the calendar. We'll
Definitely.
host
Could you
you.
remind me of the email again? The Turner, the first and the name.
Enquiries with an E, enquiries at bristolbraille.org. So bristolbraille.org, you can also find our phone number, and there is a calendar if you just want to book in without asking.
Amazing. And then you mentioned someone with the last name Turner. I got Chris
Chris
Turner, that
dot
was it.
Turner, but
Yeah.
that is a company secret for you. That is in
Of
fact
course,
just an
yes.
acronym. Sorry, not an acronym. That's an alias for the same email address I just gave you. So Chris monitors the inquiries. So there you go.
Okay, got it. Well, thank you. This was amazing. This was really interesting. Thank you so
I
much.
would like to add that we're very grateful to our previous customers, and especially grateful to those who take a punt on us every time we release one of these new devices. Thank you to our Canute Scientific customers. It is there. We have no other funding besides the devices that we build. By and large, we get some grants sometimes to do the R&D, but this is a community project in the most literal sense, which is that people ask us to build Braille displays. They ask us what it should be on it, and we go out and buy as much metal as we can, and as much resin as we can, and print all the bits and get all the motors and put them in place, and hope that we get it all done before people get irate at us. And it's a wonderful community, and we're very grateful that we get to do that for a job.
Yeah, no, I'm excited that I didn't realize it was you're a not-for-profit enterprise. So that's really good. Well done, you.
We try and put on a face that looks as corporate as possible every now and then. But then when you're on a more intimate call,
Yeah, you
you
can
can look a
let
little bit less
No,
corporate.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time. I know you've been traveling a lot last week, so I appreciate you jumping on the call. So I think we will then call it an evening. It's been great. Thank you again. Thanks for everyone who's come on the call. Hope you found it helpful. And we'll see you again soon, perhaps for the AI sessions starting next week.